Got you, Bram. Okay, that is Russell Wilson, and he let it slip today. You heard it there. He said, first game for me. So we don't have Mike Tomlin saying Russell Wilson will start. But we have a report from NFL Network on Tuesday that all signs indicated that Russell Wilson would get his first start. We have Justin Fields earlier today lamenting his play, saying, I don't think I played well enough to keep the job. And now we have Russell Wilson saying that this will be the first game for me. He was the backup last week, so he's not talking about being elevated to backup status and being one injury away or one misstep by Fields away from going in. He's talking about being the starting quarterback. And the question I posed to you guys before we went to break was, are you confident in him going in and getting the job done? And I know we'll talk a lot more about this tomorrow because it'll be a Friday show before the game, but I'm not a fan of this move. I think that Justin Fields was being too hard on himself today when he said, I haven't done well enough. I could pull up numbers, and I did blind resume with Donnie. His numbers this year through six games are better than quarterbacks like Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff, and Dak Prescott. All those guys making big, big money. All of those guys pretty much universally viewed as franchise quarterbacks. And he's been better than all of them. That's what the numbers say. Now, Tomlin came out this week and said stats are for losers. Well, the one stat that matters is the win-loss record, and his four wins are no one from that group of quarterbacks that I just named has more wins than him. So any way you want to cut it here, any way you want to slice it, there is, I think, a comeback for the people that think Justin Fields stinks, is never going to be a franchise quarterback, and you're better off just relegating him to the bench and seeing what Russell Wilson can do. That's another common refrain here, is that, well, we don't know from Russ. Let's find out. Let's go on this whimsical journey with Russell Wilson where we're walking down the friggin' yellow brick road for crying out loud trying to figure out if this guy still got anything left. I'm not in a rush to do it. I don't have a defeatist mentality with Justin Fields where I'm convinced he can't throw the ball. I keep hearing that too. Well, he's shown you his true colors. He's not a passer of the quarterback, passer of the football. All right, so let's go back together and watch the Colts second half of the game. And you show me in that exercise of watching the last 30 minutes of this game, you tell me that he can't possibly function as a thrower of the football. We had Steve Palazzolo on last hour. He has been paid by different companies to watch tape and grade tape. And he flat out said, Russell Wilson last year, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, was farcical. He was not that good. Mark Schlereth, who played in the NFL, has said the same thing. I don't want to denigrate Russell Wilson. I want to believe in him. By the time we get to Sunday, you better believe I'll be rooting my ass off for him. Because I want the Steelers to win. I'd rather be wrong and the Steelers win than be right and the Steelers lose. So I will be at kickoff. I will be 100% behind Russell Wilson. But I don't appreciate the way this has gone down. And I really don't like the way people now have revisionist history about the first six games we've seen from Justin Fields. 412-928-9370 is the telephone number. Let's get to some of your thoughts, starting with John in Indiana. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
I mean, honestly, I think that the Steelers should take a look at Russell Wilson. I don't think that the way they've been winning is sustainable. You're not going to get three turnovers in every football game. I think our defense got exposed to some degree against the Colts and against
John,
the Cowboys. We need more offense.
John, are you a Pirates fan?
Yes.
Do you believe that you get what you pay for, and one of the reasons why they haven't done a lot of winning is because they have one of the lowest payrolls in baseball?
Yep.
Okay.
I do.
So you're asking a lot. You're saying that this is not sustainable. They spend more money on defense than any team in the league, and there's only one team in the league that pays less for its offensive players. So you can say that if you want. I don't, in theory, disagree with you. But they've built the team. They've built the team to win getting three turnovers a game. You can say that was dumb. You can say they should have been more offensive-minded and drafted offensive players higher and signed more guys. But that's not the way they're trying to do it, John. So to now say of their quarterback, whether it's Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, will go out there and score us 30 points a game. That's not fair to either guy, because that's not how they've invested their dollars.
Yeah, I get that. It's just not working out that way, right? We thought their defense was great after the first three games, and it turns out it's maybe not quite as good as we thought.
So now desperate times call for desperate measures, and we have to keep our fingers crossed that a 35-year-old quarterback coming off two calf injuries is going to be able to rise the level of the offensive play when he's still throwing to guys like Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin?
Well, I don't think we know. I mean, I agree he's older, but I mean, he does have a...
Well, wait a minute. When you say we don't think we know, you're saying even like we don't know if Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin are good yet?
No, Van Jefferson is not good. I have to admit, I don't understand why Van Jefferson would play more snaps in any game than Pickens.
And that's happened multiple times this year, by the way.
I know. You're right. I don't understand that. I agree with that.
And so does that change with Russell Wilson? I mean, all these complaints about the offense. The one thing I've heard repeatedly that I agree with is Russell Wilson will do a better job on play action passes. I think that's right. The data backs that up everywhere Fields has been and everywhere Russell Wilson has been. And that is a big part of the Arthur Smith offense. So I'm not here to – I can't win every argument on Fields. I have to concede some, and that is one that I'm willing to say the Russell Wilson backers are right about. Okay, but the whole idea – that Russell Wilson is going to process the game better and see the field better. He takes forever to throw the ball. If he was seeing the field well and he was getting the ball out, it wouldn't take him 3 seconds to get rid of the ball. We know it takes Fields a long time because I guess some of those complaints about him are true. But he makes up for it, or at least attempts to, by being one of the great athletes in the NFL, period, regardless of position, by the way he runs with the ball. I have serious doubts that Russell Wilson, coming off a lower body injury for the first time in his life, in his 30s, is going to be able to give you that kind of mobility that makes up for taking so long to throw the ball, especially behind this offensive line, which has a right tackle who should be playing left tackle, a center who's never started a game for the Steelers before, Dan Moore, who's starting to regress to Dan Moore levels. I don't trust Russell Wilson. I don't think that throwing Russell Wilson in here is actually putting him in position to succeed either. Yes, he's won a Super Bowl and he's been to 9 Pro Bowls, but I don't exactly think he's parachuting into an offense that's too good to fail. I don't think he's playing for the Kansas City Chiefs, the San Francisco 49ers, or the Minnesota Vikings right now. In fact, even with Arthur Smith being a big upgrade on Matt Canada, I still think from a design standpoint, he's playing in one of the worst offenses in the NFL. Here's Mr. Old School. Hello, Old School.
Hey, you already know what I'm going to say, because I've been telling you it, and you just mentioned it. Here's my thing about bringing in Russell Wilson over Justin Fields. You can say what you want. Justin Fields only had 2 touchdowns and 12 quarters of the first half. So 12 quarters, 2 touchdowns. We're hitting the juggernaut of the team, and Russell Wilson is 100% better under play action, which slows down a defense. Russell Wilson ran for 346 yards last year. Let's not make a calf strain like he had an Achilles tear. It was a strain, and he's going to show.
Yeah, but Mr. Old School, if it's not a
better better player. You know what Tony Dungy said 2 weeks ago?
I know.
He was asked about the team. He said, "I went and visited the team. Russell Wilson is looking awesome." You know what Chris Hoke said this morning? Russell Wilson is looking awesome. You know what the tight end came and said? Russell Wilson is commanding our offense, and he looks awesome. Okay. I believe he's in the league because they look at him playing, and he looks like he plays better in practice. And they believe it's going to transfer.
Well, guess what? They made Kenny Pickett out to be a friggin' god in practice, so I'm not exactly taking what you do in practice as the end-all, be-all, okay? They said Pickett looked like he was Joe Montana in practice during training camp last year, and I fell for it like an idiot. So I'm not always going to take people's word on what they say in practice. I mean, you can give me Chris Hoke all you want. You going to take Chris Hoke's advice on quarterbacks over Roethlisberger's, for crying out loud? I mean, come on now. Ben said you stick with Fields. You think Chris Hoke knows more about quarterback play than Ben? That what you're going to tell me, old school? You think Tony Dungy knows more than Roethlisberger now? Come on now.
I agree. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe they don't look better. But what I'm telling you is that the coach's eye, listen, the only time you don't allow a quarterback to make audibles is not because of his leg strength or his arm strength. It's because you don't believe he passes the eye.
Okay, let's see if they give, thank you, Mr. Old School, let's see if they give Russ that power. We'll have Ray Fittipaldo on next. I'm going to ask him straight away. Does Russell Wilson now get authority to basically do whatever he wants like Ben did? And by the way, on the Ben note, they took the audible power away from Ben at the end of his career, which made no sense, and he bitched about it. Steelers insider Ray Fittipaldo joins us now every Thursday at 5:15, and he's brought to you by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, built on relationships, credibility, integrity, LGKG.com. Ray, before we get into some opinions on things, just to clear up for everybody the quarterback decision. Field said, I don't think I've played well enough. Russell Wilson said, this is the first game for me. So even the people talking who are involved in this decision are making it sound like it's fait accompli. It's Russell Wilson on Sunday, even though Arthur Smith said we'll wait for a decision by the end of the week. The die has been cast on this. It's 100% Wilson, correct?
I think Mike will address the media tomorrow after practice. I would assume he wouldn't let this linger into the weekend, Andrew. So, that's what I'm expecting. But you're right. Wilson's going to make his first start Sunday night against the Jets.
What is the best you can tell, what is the biggest reason you think why the Steelers are making this move now?
The passing offense. You look at it, Justin Fields averaging 167 yards per game. Russell Wilson, over the course of his career, 232 yards per game. So, I know the Steelers felt like there were a lot of plays that were left out on the field against Vegas. I understand it was a 19-point win, but when they broke down that film, I think they saw that, there were a lot of passing plays that could have and should have been made, and I think that's the reason they're going to Russ in the situation.
How much are they losing in the running game by going with Wilson?
That's certainly a give and take. Russ has always been able to move around, but he's 36 years old now, and I can't imagine he's going to want to tuck and run more than, one, two, three times per game. He's not going to do it like Justin has done it. So, Arthur Smith said there's a give and take there. Obviously, you're taking away the running game, but they certainly think they're going to add some more explosive plays in the passing game. And I think the biggest difference between Russ and Justin, other than overall field vision and just having a better feel for the NFL passing game, it's play action. Russell has been very good at play action over his career. Justin's not very good at it, and that's a big part of Arthur Smith's offense.
Do we expect that these wide receivers that we generally think are very bad at their jobs, do we expect them to get better now that Russell Wilson is going in there, Ray? Like, do you honestly think it's a matter of Van Jefferson is open and Justin Fields just isn't getting him the ball?
Yeah, I don't know about Van Jefferson, but I think Pat Freiermuth and George Pickens are going to benefit the most. And, secondarily, I think, Van Jefferson could get more involved. Calvin Austin could get more involved. But, they got to get George Pickens consistently up around 80, 90, 100 yards per game. I mean, he's too good.
Well, holding on to the ball might help with that, Ray. I mean, I don't think you can put that all on Fields. The guy's dropping balls left and right here now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about one a game, but he's had a few, probably three or four over the first six games of the season. But, he's barely on pace to average 1,000 yards over a 17-game season, and a guy of his caliber should be much more dangerous. So, they got to get him in a position where he's scoring touchdowns. And, same with Pat Freiermuth. I mean, Pat Freiermuth, I think he has less than 200 yards receiving. I mean, they got to get that situated. Those guys are the two best pass catchers, and they got to play as such.
So are we to assume then from the Freiermuth thing, if you believe that's what the Steelers are thinking, that they blame Sean Payton for Russell Wilson never, ever, ever throwing to the middle of the field last year? That was a one-off, or is that something that has been problematic in his game for a while, Ray?
Yeah, I think the entire marriage between Russell Wilson and Sean Payton was ill-fated. And I'm not going to read too much into his numbers or what people said about him with the Broncos. So, you know, I do expect Russ to be able to play in all phases of the game. That includes short, intermediate, and the deep ball. Obviously, the deep ball is what he's known for. It's probably what he's best at. But you don't survive 13 years in the NFL playing as many Pro Bowls mm-hmm. as he has and not be able to utilize the middle of the field. So he knows he's got Pat there. Pat is one of the best weapons on this offense, and Russ knows he has to get him more involved.
How about the leash on Russell Wilson? What if he doesn't play well against the Jets? Is this like a one-and-done thing for him, or does he get a long runway as the quarterback, Ray?
You know, that's the interesting part of this. Certainly, he's not going to get pulled in this game, I don't think, unless he throws like three interceptions
right.
in the first half.
Yep.
It is interesting. You have two games, then you got the bye week. So, you know, let's say it's not good for two games. You know, do they reset at the bye week and they say, hey, let's go back to what was working? I don't know, but I have the sense that this is probably Russ's team for a while, and they'll try to get Justin involved and use him in some packages. But I think the plan is for Russ to be the quarterback.
Can we read into this that Justin Fields probably isn't the Steelers' quarterback of the future?
I don't know about that. I'm sure by now you guys have heard Arthur Smith's quotes today. You guys heard what Najee Harris said about him.
I didn't know. What did Najee say? We didn't get to that. What happened there?
Najee was like, you know, Justin's being too hard on himself. Najee heard what Justin said in the morning. And Najee said, he's being too hard on himself. He did a really good job. I don't want to say those guys went out of their way to say nice things about Justin. I just think Justin is really, you know, well-respected among the coaches and among his teammates. And if they have to go back to him, I think everyone is comfortable in that scenario. So when I say they said nice things about him, they weren't going out of their way to say it, is what I'm trying to say. They genuinely felt that what they were saying. So Art loves him. You know, Najee loves him. When it comes down to it, Andrew, they want to get more out of the passing game, and they think Russ is the guy to do that.
Do you think they can get more out of him in a game where they're facing one of the elite pass rushes in the league and they're going to have a center no one's ever heard of play this game?
Yeah, I mean, that's the tricky part of this evaluation. That's why Sunday night probably, he's going to be judged off it, but, you know, you certainly have to have an open mind. Ryan McCollum making his second NFL start. I think Mason McCormick, his third NFL start. I mean, it's a patchwork offensive line. And, Zach Frazier's probably not going to come back until after the bye week now. So, it's going to be a difficult situation for Russ to step into, but he's been in the league a long time. I'm sure he's faced this situation before with injuries, and, I'm sure he'll figure out a way to make it work on Sunday night.
Over under 5 offensive plays from Justin Fields in this game?
I'll go under. I think they will try to get him in the game, but it's probably going to be in goal-to-go situations. And
wow, that's interesting because Wilson has the reputation for being such a good red zone player. Interesting.
Yeah, but Justin has 5 rushing touchdowns this year, and I think all 5.
Well, I've been told by Steelers fans those don't count, Ray. Only the passing touchdowns count.
When you have a guy who is as dangerous as he is in goal-to-go situations, I think you want to try to use him. So I get it. Russ has great numbers in the red zone. I understand that. But if there's a situation where Arthur can utilize his legs, I don't think he's going to hesitate to do so.
When it comes to elevating the passing game, what do you make of these rumors with the Steelers and Mike Williams? Good idea, bad idea?
I don't know. He hasn't done much this year. I know there's no chemistry there with Rodgers.
Correct.
But, I don't know. It's kind of – listen, the Steelers, we all know, can probably use another viable target. I just don't know if Mike Williams is that guy at this stage of his career.
So who would be the dream player for the Steelers then to get to help their passing game between now and the deadline, Ray?
I don't know if there is one. On the market, is DK Metcalf on the market anymore? I don't get that sense.
Me either.
I haven't heard that. So, there's all kinds of good players out there who would fit, but in terms of guys who are going to be on the trading block, that ship probably has sailed.
Ugh. Well, that's a depressing take here to end this call. Anything else we missed that you think's been a big development this week at practice?
No, I just, I see the collaboration with Russ and his coaches and his teammates. There's a lot, not that Justin didn't do this, but Russ is talking to guys one-on-one. He's collaborating with coaches in between periods. I think that veteran presence is a big part of this decision. And, that's something to watch for in these games. In-game adjustments, line of scrimmage adjustments, I think Russ will have more freedom in that regard, too. So that's something to watch for on Sunday night.
Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers Insider. Check him out in the Post-Gazette. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks, Pony. See you.
There you go. Ray Fittipaldo. Time for Total Request Thursday at 5:30. You pick the topic. Your four choices were Russ replacing Fields, Steelers wide receiver trade rumor, Sid Geno milestones, and Pitt in the college football playoff. This is a tight one. 34% of you want to talk about the Steelers wide receiver trade rumor, and that beat out Russ replacing Fields. Pitt in the college football playoff finished in last place. Surprising. Okay, so here's the rumor. Mike Williams, I just brought his name up to Ray Fittipaldo. Diana Russini, she has very good sources with the Jets. And she says the Steelers are one of three teams trying to trade for Mike Williams. The Jets no longer need Mike Williams because they traded for Davante Adams. So we would be getting their used goods. We would be getting something they were bringing to the NFL consignment store or the NFL Goodwill because they don't need him anymore. They've upgraded. They've gotten better. And Mike Williams has lost the support of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers publicly drove the old Madden cruiser that John Madden used to drive around over Mike Williams, blaming him for the interception at the end of the Bills game on Monday. And it got so bad there this week that Williams was not at practice yesterday. And Donnie, did you see the update on this today? He had to practice off on his own at practice. Not in the team drills at all.
So clearly conserving the guy.
Yes.
Health-wise.
Yeah, that or just you can run around and do whatever the hell you want, but we don't want you part of our game planning and scheming and everything else. Hey, they might think he might end up with the Steelers, so why let him in on what they're doing for this week's game? But either way, that's the latest on Williams. And Bill Barnwell from ESPN, who I see on TV shows all the time, and he writes long, expansive pieces that usually you have to pay for because they sit behind a firewall. He said today that he thinks this trade could happen. Mike Williams for a 7th-round pick to the Steelers. That's what he's predicting. Williams for a 7th. We go over this every time a wide receiver trade possibility gets floated out there. We ain't got much, so really any help is accepted and warranted and wanted. Beggars can't be choosers, basically, is what I'm saying, people. Calvin Austin's had his moments. Van Jefferson's had none. Mike Williams is a little redundant with George Pickens because their style of play is similar, even though Pickens, at this point in his career, is a much more explosive athlete than Williams, but it's the same idea where there are better downfield passing threats than like short and intermediate guys. He only has 10 catches. He's coming off a torn ACL. I mean, there's plenty of reason to question whether or not Mike Williams would have production here with the Steelers. But the price would be right, and it's worthy of, I think, it's worthy of a look. It's worthy of inspection here, especially when we're talking about picks that rarely materialize into good players. 7th-round pick, I mean, when's the last time the Steelers really hit on a 7th-round pick? Guy that's played here and done well as a 7th-round pick. Calvin Beecham's had a nice career as a starting offensive lineman for a very long time as a 7th-round pick, but his Steelers career was kind of brief. I mean, do I have to go all the way back to Brett Kiesel for crying out loud?
Well, let's see. Spencer Anderson, Corey Trice, Mark Robinson, Chris Oladokun, Trey Norwood, Presley Harvin, Carlos Davis, Derwin Gray, Josh Frazier, Keon Adams. You know, the only guy that's probably still, well, I guess Harvin's technically in the league. Matakevich, who's a special teamer, was seventh rounder in 2016. Gerard Holloman in 2015.
The safety from Louisville.
Rob Blanchflower in 2014.
Tight end.
Nick Williams in 2013.
He's had a good career, actually, but now with the Steelers.
Right. Kelvin Beachum, probably the best one, because it was that in 2012.
Now, we have higher hopes for Trice. Like, I think that he was passed over in the draft because of all of his injuries. So that might end up being a diamond in the rough. But what are we really talking about here? I mean, I would not have delusions of grandeur with Mike Williams. But before he got injured last year, he was productive. And the season before that, he was really good. So I like Ray's point. I think you got an oil and water situation there between Williams and Rodgers. They never clicked. And I don't think that that is proof that Williams is washed, because one thing we're clearly seeing about Aaron Rodgers is that he values relationships. He wanted that bozo Nathaniel Hackett as his offensive coordinator. He made the Packers go out and get Randall Cobb when the guy was ready for the glue factory and had no more real NFL ability left. They signed Alan Lazard to a big contract. Now they've got Davante Adams. He likes to rekindle flames. So if you're some guy that never played with Aaron Rodgers, don't really know his idiosyncrasies, his personality, especially when you're an older guy like Mike Williams, I think it's hard to make it work. If this Russell Wilson experiment is about finding success with guys downfield, then I would be all for. I mean, most of these guys whose names are floated out there and are linked to the Steelers, as long as we're not talking like with Adams, second round pick or better, or third round pick that could turn into a second round pick, as long as we're not talking about a draft choice that could turn into a guy who has a 5+ year career with you as a starter, then I am in favor of them doing something like this, even though I say it with the expectation that I don't think Mike Williams is going to come here and fix the Steelers offense. But I do think you have to at least try. You know, one of the things we get on the Pirates for is that they don't always try. They just try to make these one-year deals, these low-risk moves where they're not making big investments. I'm not arguing that Mike Williams is a big investment, but when your season is at a point where it could go either way, you could sink or swim, you could make the playoffs or miss the playoffs. I really think it's that dicey. I mean, I don't think you can say, and I generally like the job that Omar Khan has done. You can't sit back here and say he's done a good job this season if they don't go out and get another wide receiver before the season is over. Do you agree with that, Donnie? Unless for some unless by some happenstance, the offense does shock us and organically on its own transform into something that none of us expect it to. If Khan doesn't at least bring in another wide receiver and try to attempt to resuscitate and revitalize this offense with another pass catcher, then I'm going to have a serious beef with the way he went about putting this team together this year. And I don't think that that's me being an a-hole about it. I think that's just me being like holding him to a pretty fair standard as a fan.
Yeah, I mean, we can rave all we want about how the first two draft classes he has have looked so far, which I think are mostly with positive returns. We can think about some other moves that he and Andy Weidel have made and Mike Tomlin has helped them make. But this has been a glaring hole for months. They traded the other wide receiver because Mike Tomlin didn't like him. They traded him, 7 months ago now? With plenty of time to go get somebody else. And I think that whole time they were, I'm not going to say they weren't actually trying to pursue somebody else. They clearly were in a few cases, but they had months, over half a year, to make something happen, and they ended up with nothing. Because in a way, I think there's also a little bit of arrogance there with the organization. And like you hear fans kind of say this too at times, like, oh, they'll get somebody. They're the Steelers. I think they'll get somebody because they're the Steelers. Tyler Boyd, he'll play here because it's the Steelers. Well, they didn't get Tyler Boyd. They didn't get Brandon Ayuk. They didn't get Davante Adams.
Somebody tweeted this in, and I want to know how you feel about it. Would you rather trade a late-round pick and take your chances that Mike Williams or Adam Thielen come here and turn back the clock a little bit and play well with very little risk involved? Or would you rather trade, say, a second-round pick, and now that he's back and ready to play this week, if the Rams really do make a decision to pivot, which I do find hard to believe, I'm going to just stress that. I don't think that they're going to do this. But if they made Cooper Kupp available, would you rather trade a second and get him or do the low-risk route with very little long-term commitments to somebody like Williams or Thielen?
I would go after the better player there with the...
Me too.
With the
even though the
higher
guy's
potential future, I know that he's
got an injury history now.
Yeah,
but he's not a spring chicken either.
It's also not like the Steelers are in a good spot at the position, and like Thielen would be just a great third wheel. Like you pull him in for a late round pick, and you're thinking, okay, anything this guy can give us would be big. They need to get a more legit option. And listen, I'm a fan of Adam Thielen. I would still be happy if they ended up doing that, which is much more realistic for like a late round pick. But in this case, go after the better player, the explosive player, the one that even with an injury history has a much higher potential ceiling than what an Adam Thielen would have at 35 years old.
I mean, the Deontay Johnson always open club, which Malzi is a charter member of, Cooper Kupp does what Johnson did way better. Johnson is like a hobo version of Kupp. Kupp gets open constantly, all the time, and quickly. And so when you have a quarterback that takes a long time to make decisions, knowing that he is somebody that's open immediately and you just have to look his way and you can probably get him the ball, I think would help your offense incredibly. So that's a dream scenario. Ray said he didn't have a dream scenario. That'd be one for me. And he is coming back and playing this weekend for them.